Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Rupp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what a do? What's up? Good Monday.
I'm a little disappointed.
What are you doing?
Well, last week we were extra hard hitting.
Why are you?
And now this week,
it's back to normal.
We're back to normal hitting?
Yeah.
Why?
You can't hit hard every week.
Well, but it's...
It is the playoffs, though, you
it's
know?
It's the playoffs. We're now out of wild card week.
Playoffs?
We're rolled into the semis. We got national title on Monday. What do we... If anything, we should be hitting extra, extra hard this week. And now we're back to just hitting normal.
It should be hard hitting month.
Yeah.
Really.
I was waiting in anticipation.
But it's not.
For what was coming in our super duper extra hard hitting week, and now it's just normal week.
Will we be medium hitting, do you think?
I don't know.
It's thud tempo.
No promises. Do you think anybody turned it off? They heard the open, they were like, not hard hitting enough.
I forget this.
I came for the hard hitting.
I'm going to OPB.
And now we're like playing touch. We're like two-hand touch. Now we're out of here. You know, somewhere Lars is hard hitting. That's probably what people are doing. My goodness. I feel very underwhelmed. I'm going to try to bring it anyway.
Well, you know, just because the Open says that doesn't mean you can't be hard hitting.
Well, I mean,
I want some hot takes.
I can't be extra hard hitting. The Open didn't tell me that we're extra hard hitting. I can't go that hard if no one else is going that hard.
How do you know I'm not going that hard?
Oh, I know that.
Yeah, that's where the hard dudes are.
I know that for a fact.
I'm bringing it.
You're bringing extra hard hitting?
All Mike McCarthy today. I came hard today.
The Cowboys. I love that the Cowboys, this is how inept Dallas is.
I have hot takes about it.
This is my only hot take about...
Jerry and McCarthy were lovers.
That would be a hot take. That was what... I think Skip was talking to Troy Aikman about that. We tried to out him, even though he's been married multiple times.
Wait, Skip Bayless said that Mike McCarthy and Jerry Jones were lovers?
No, Skip Bayless said that Troy Aikman was gay.
Oh.
And Troy Aikman was like, yeah, no.
What if he were?
I'm gay.
I think back then it was a little more scandalous than it is now. Remember, it used to be a thing, like, if you were an athlete and it was gay, it's like, it's going to end your career, and now you probably get more endorsements. Although we haven't really had any high profile, but I think we've had, Nassib came out.
And he was a regular player.
He was a regular player. We had.
It's kind of not a thing anymore.
I don't think so. I mean, one day it will be a thing, like when a defensive player of the year or a quarterback, like if Patrick Mahomes comes out and is like, hey, I'm
no,
gay.
No. He's having another baby.
Well.
Already did.
They already had Golden.
Oh. Golden?
Yeah.
They named their kid Golden Mahomes?
They did.
Do you know the names of their first two kids?
No.
Yes.
Isaac, would you like to?
No, I'm going to have him guess.
I have no idea.
Well, Golden.
Golden? Is one platinum? Is one silver?
Close. But close.
Keep going.
Diamond? Is he a stripper?
Keep going.
What else is
we've
there?
We've got bronze.
Oh.
And we've got?
Bronze and silver?
Silver. Right?
We've got sterling.
Oh, sterling.
Sterling.
So silver. Golden, sterling, and bronze.
Yeah, that's the
Whoa.
That's the three kid names.
Now.
That's a true story.
That's real.
Yeah.
Are you sure we didn't get ball sacked here?
Well, no, because it came from Buckley.
So it's possible that we did, but no, this is on Patrick Mahomes' Instagram.
Are we? Okay. I feel like you've been ball sacked.
If Ian Rappaport got ball sacked, then I did too.
Okay. So.
Yeah. Sterling Sky.
Okay.
So Patrick Mahomes III,
mm-hmm.
they nicknamed him Bronze.
Oh, for the third.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you have Sterling Sky, okay, who's the three-year-old. That's the oldest. And they just had Golden.
All right.
That, Golden Ray.
That makes me feel a little better because, like, if you're that kid and you're the middle child, how does it feel to be named Bronze when the other one is Silver and Gold?
What if they couldn't even have a third and it was just like, you're the third out of two?
You're like, dude, no one likes you. You're Bronze. Like, so, but I guess that the third makes sense.
Well, I do think it's weird that the third one is the golden one.
I know. It's a little strange.
You know?
Well, but.
They wait it? Like, what if you didn't have a third or couldn't or, you know?
I don't know. That's the bronze.
Then the kids grow up asking, like, who's, wait, mom, dad, who's gold?
By the way, if I'm Bronze's friend growing up, I make fun of that all the time. Like, nice try, Bronze. Your own parents don't even like
you.
But
he has the ultimate trump card because he is Patrick Mahomes the third.
He could just go by Patrick if he wants to.
Yeah.
I think as he gets older.
Do you know who my dad was?
Maybe that Bronze thing just gets shoved aside. Yeah. My whole point was.
Anyway.
If someone like Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson, then I think it'll be a big deal if they came out as gay. But for the most part, now when someone makes the announcement collectively, we're all like, all right.
I'm gay.
Well, I don't know why you have to announce anything. Just be.
Yeah, just for a long time, that was kind of the final fig leaf in sports. And it just quietly went away. And we'll test that once you get a true star, because I don't think we've ever had one outside of, like, figure skating or whatnot. But, you know, and certainly on the female side of things, there's a huge portion of female athletes, but we really don't have we have not had, in my knowledge, a team sport marquee gay male that's come out.
Nassib.
Yeah, but he's not marquee.
I mean, he's close.
No. Not even close.
I mean, he's a good player. Yeah, oh, come on. Carl Nassib's close.
He never even, like.
But he's not, you wouldn't categorize him as a star, right?
He's not even a marquee player. He's just a solid, solid player.
He's close.
No.
Yes. Yes.
No. If you were going to say someone who was close to a marquee.
I'm fighting you on this.
Close to a marquee player, you'd be talking about someone along the lines of. Okay,
so wrong.
You're not a star.
I'm dying on this.
Solid, not marquee. You'd be more talking about like a
Donovan
more
Solano.
T.J. Watt than Carl Nassib.
Well,
what?
I'm not even saying T.J. Watt's.
T.J. Watt's a superstar.
That's a superstar.
Yeah, I think you need to be a star.
How about this? Highsmith on the other side, his pass rushing partner. There you go. It'd be that. It'd be someone like that.
I think they're the same to a lot of people.
That is just not true.
Well, it may not be true to you, but I think to a lot of people it is.
Alternative facts. I love it.
That's not a fact.
I don't even know how we got here, but here we are.
Screw you. I'm tired of you already.
Quarterback would do it, too. If we had, like, a marquee quarterback.
Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah. Caleb Williams. Sam Darnold. Matthew Stafford. I'm just naming quarterbacks that are on the screen now.
Mike Vrabel. He's on my screen.
Yeah, that would.
First gay coach.
That would certainly do it. That would.
Who cares about that? Anyway, got a big show.
Yeah. Hard hitting, but not extra hard hitting. Just normal tempo.
Well, here's what I did. I just basically jotted down notes for each of the games.
Oh.
And so, you know, we can cover each of the games in order, out of order, however you want to do it. I'm going to leave it up to you. I mean, we've got a lot to talk about. We haven't even talked about, we haven't had the chance to discuss Ohio State, Texas.
No, which ended up being a great game.
And then we have all the playoff game. Mm-hmm. Playoff.
And the playoffs. The NFL games. Playoffs were a little.
Playoffs.
But we got a good one to finish it off. Commanders, Bucks. But outside of that, there wasn't a whole lot of drama.
No, but there's always a lot to discuss.
Oh, there's always so much to discuss. And now you get to the end of the season and, you know, what do you do? And sky's falling and, you know, who's.
Wait,
you know,
what do you mean?
Well,
what does who do?
You got everything from, like, is Justin Herbert the new Dak Prescott? Does Mike Tomlin need to go out? Every team that loses ends up with a question mark, right? Does Mike Tomlin need to leave Pittsburgh for
it
them
is
to
true.
Take a...
Justin Herbert's overrated.
Yes.
Jordan Love sucks.
Yes.
Mike Tomlin needs to be fired.
Well, Todd Bowles is another one down in Tampa. Do you need to move on from him to keep your offensive coordinator?
Can I say something about
you
Todd
You can
Bowles.
Say whatever you want.
Okay, great. I'll die on this hill. Instead of the Carl Nassib.
You got a lot of hills you're dying on.
Well, you said turn it up a notch this week. Hard hitting. Well, that's what I'm trying to do.
I love it.
Todd Bowles may be very good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know. But I would give him the label, in my opinion, of the best coach that I think sucks.
Interesting. So, like...
Because he's won a Super Bowl.
Todd Bowles has won a...
Yeah. Am I wrong?
Yeah. Not as a head coach.
As a head coach?
No.
Wasn't he the coach of the Bucs?
Was he Brady's head coach?
Wasn't he?
I don't know. Off the top of my head, maybe.
Wait, what? Of course he was.
No.
Who was?
Who was the coach of that team? No, that was Bruce Arians.
What?
Bruce Arians was the coach.
No, Todd Bowles was the coach. I just looked it up. It was Todd Bowles.
You're like a decade behind. Bruce Arians is way gone.
2000? Yeah, what was that?
It was just a couple years ago.
Todd Bowles was the head coach of that team?
2020.
Yeah, but he lucked into Tom Brady. But anyway, my point is...
No, it's Arians. Hold on.
What?
Todd Bowles was not the coach.
What an upset!
I'm like you guys have
Bruce Arians was
you
the
have taken something that I was sure of, and then you rocked me to my foundation.
Don't get cocky now.
Well, Todd Bowles was not the coach.
I could have sworn he was.
No.
So he doesn't have a Super Bowl.
No,
okay.
He does not.
Well, okay. I don't know if he's the best coach. Mm-hmm. I just think he sucks.
Oh.
And I don't... Yeah. I mean, I'm sure we all have this.
No, Mike McCarthy is the one that, for a lot of people, probably gets.
Well, is that yours?
If you
see, McCarthy to me is okay. He's won a Super Bowl.
If you were to ask me who's the worst coach that has a Super Bowl that's currently coaching,
No. Let me ask you that. I want to ask you a specific question.
Okay.
Because again, hard hitting. Okay,
we got to get sportsy.
I know it is, but who cares? We're a sports show. That's what we do here.
Especially in these hard hitting weeks.
Who is the best coach that you think sucks?
The best coach that sucks. So
that you think suck. I mean, I'm not saying that they actually suck.
Mm-hmm.
It's just you don't like them. For whatever reason, I think Todd Bowles is a joke. Mm. Todd Bowles is clearly not a joke.
Yeah.
But to me, he seems it. He doesn't know left to right. Mm. He often looks confused on the sideline. His teams get penalized right and left. They screw up. They're good, but never good enough. They're like, I can count on Todd Bowles to not be good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that in my world, that makes him suck. I can't stand him.
And so we're not going all time. We're saying current coaches.
No, any coach. The best coach that you think sucks.
That is such a broad question. And you've thrown me for a loop. The first one that comes to mind is Mike McCarthy.
Okay.
Mike McCarthy is mine. He's the
first. You just don't think he's that good?
I don't. I think he is vastly overrated. I don't think he's a great locker room guy. I think he's pretty wishy-washy. I don't think he has great command. And I think he's okay, obviously, but he said that it's a weird thing. You said best. So Mike McCarthy is a good coach, but I kind of think he sucks and I would not want him. If I was he's going to interview for the Bears. He's going to interview for I forget the other one. There's two that he's
Saints, I think
the Saints. And if I'm either one of those teams, I do not want Mike McCarthy. I would rather roll the dice. And Mike McCarthy has won a ton of games and Dallas has won a ton of games since he's been there. And the guy's won a Super Bowl and he's worked with really good quarterbacks. But if you ask me from late game execution to building, to help building a roster, to being an innovative play caller, right now, I would not want Mike McCarthy. I would rather roll the dice on a unproven offensive coordinator, whether that's Cohen or whether that's Brady or Ben Johnson, whatever, than I would to say, go give me a proven commodity of Mike McCarthy. I know what Mike McCarthy is, and Mike McCarthy is a good regular season coach that's not taking me anywhere. And by the way, there's probably a lot of people that are going to say the same thing about Mike Tomlin. You know, it's like, hey, I know he can elevate me to a certain point, but I'm not going anywhere with him.
They may say that, and look, it's an opinion thing. Like, I don't, and it's kind of a, it's a question. The way I put the question makes it so that it's really, there's no arguing with you. It's just what you think. No. And it's almost like you know that's illogical, but you don't care.
Wait, time out.
Because with Tomlin, to me, he's really good.
Yes.
But I can totally see somebody who says, oh my God, he's good, but I think he sucks. Yeah. I totally get that point of view on him. I don't have that, but I have that with Todd Bowles. So,
and by the way, I would like to
oh, you
pivot.
Found another one?
Well, I just was going through in my mind the list of, I just pulled up the list of NFL coaches and I'm like, am I missing someone? And it would like the bell, ring, 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 Nick Sirianni. Nick Sirianni has an amazing record. Look at that guy's win-loss record in the NFL. It is stellar. And here they are in the playoffs again. He's been one play or two away from winning the Super Bowl, and I do think that Nick Sirianni sucks. I think he is a... I think he is a borderline crappy coach, and everything about that record would tell you otherwise, but I don't like him. There is something about it that I think the Eagles win despite Nick Sirianni. There is 15 other coaches that I could put in there right now that I would feel light years better about where Philadelphia is going if they were the head coach rather than Nick Sirianni.
You want Todd Bowles?
It's kind of in that same category for me. You know what? I do. I think I would rather. I just am not a Sirianni guy. I think he is the... If they win, he will be the Barry Switzer of the Philadelphia Eagles.
They're not going to win.
I don't think so either. Yeah, someone saying Sark Sirianni. There you go.
Sark, yeah, he's another one. And he's a good coach, but...
He is a good coach.
He does have a little Todd Bowles where it's like, they're going to screw it up.
Yeah, feels that way.
Anyway.
Wait, so if you guys don't think the Eagles are going to do it, do you think the Lions are? Or do you think they're too banged up? Is it somebody else if it's not one of those two?
Look, I don't want to say the Eagles aren't going to do it, but that didn't give me a lot of confidence yesterday watching them. I know they won by double digits, but their offense looks putrid.
It was more, that to me was more about Green Bay and being beat up, and I think that Love's elbow is really problematic.
And Philly's defense is good.
Philly's defense is nasty.
But... They didn't have that look, you know.
No.
Ravens had that look. Bills had that look. Who else do we see out there? Washington looked good. Yeah. It's just
if Philly wins, it's simply because it's the most talented roster in the NFL, top to bottom. But I don't believe in Sirianni, and I hate to do it, but I don't really believe in Jalen Hurts either. And I think that.
No, he didn't look very good.
No.
And Kellen Moore, I don't know if Kellen Moore's any... I have more questions coming out of that game than answers. Is Kellen Moore any good? Is Jalen Hurts any good?
I would tend to agree.
Is Jordan Love any good? What's even happening?
Well, and I think the Love thing is an interesting... We can get into this, but, and it's the whole Brock Purdy thing to a lot of these. Paying quarterbacks, especially that don't have a long track record... Do you get Josh Allen or do you get Kyler Murray? And you look at some of these guys that have been paid with Tua and Murray and, some people may throw Herbert into that category. I don't do that. Dak falls into this category. And Jordan Love makes a lot of money. And I'll tell you what, Trevor Lawrence, there is nothing that Jordan Love did this year that makes you feel at all comfortable with the amount of money that they paid him. And it's a very, very small sample size off of what he got paid.
What would you like to start with, Packers, Eagles?
Let's.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
Fly, Eagles, fly. At least the defense.
All right. Well, we'll start there. Next on the Fan. But we're going to plot our way along today. We'll cover each game for however long it takes.
Yeah.
So we do. Very thorough. More football tonight as we've got Rams, Vikings.
And this was my upset. I asked where the upset was going to come, and last week, and I think the Rams can knock them off, even though it's in Arizoma. Home field advantage kind of gone. Basically, just to see what even that looks like from a crowd standpoint. But I just think I think the Rams, when at their best, like they beat Buffalo this year, I think the Rams' best can give Minnesota a lot of problems.
So.
And they've already beat him this year, I believe.
We're going to start with Packers, Eagies.
Yeah. Which
was not the most inspiring of football games.
No, it was not.
It opened with a fumble recovery that I didn't really think was a fumble recovery. Did you?
It was one of those that I can see it. That's the Mike Francesa. I think it's.
You could see him winning this game.
I could see him winning this game.
You could see him losing this game.
I could see him losing this game.
There was a handful of those calls. The same like on the Bills sliding touchdown in the back.
That didn't look like a touchdown to me.
It was kind of one of those that I think when it's called that way, I think it's hard to overturn.
I mean, it just looked to me like I think it was his foot.
Yeah, it was his foot, but as he was sliding, he kind of lifted it up. It's about as close as you can get.
I didn't think that was a touchdown, and I didn't think
it was a fumble.
That this was a fumble. I thought I forget who the Packers guy was. I thought he clearly had it.
it's again, and it's hard to see when everything's down there. It's like once they rule that, you can't really overturn it. So, but it was a really everything that Philly got, with the exception of one drive, was kind of based on a Packers screw up. I mean, it was a really conservative game plan on the part of Philadelphia, and I just wonder how much of that was where they just weren't scared of Green Bay's offense at all, and so they just played it close to the vest and said, we're going to rely on our defense and run the ball, and that's kind of it.
Well, the Packers lost Watson, obviously.
Yep.
And then they lost Reed and Dobbs.
Yep.
And they were down to their third left guard.
Yeah, and there just really wasn't much they could do. And Jordan Love, to me...
And then their defensive guys were falling up. I mean, I don't know if they have any healthy players left.
No, and this is just war of attrition style, and we talk about it. And this is what we keep waiting to happen to the Lions, and it hasn't yet, but it happened to Green Bay, and I don't think that Love was healthy. And to be honest with you, I thought Josh Jacobs did his very best to keep them in that. I thought he played his ass off. And with everything going on, I was really proud of the Green Bay defense. If you told me that was going to be the effort that Green Bay could put up, they would be in. I would have told you they would be in this game.
Well, we knew they had a good defense.
Yeah.
Right? It's just that Hurts, a little rusty.
Yeah.
Kellen Moore, maybe not that great, but they have Saquon. And really, their defense was doing enough that they didn't. You know, they didn't need to get crazy.
No, 13 of 21, 131, two touchdowns if you're Hurts. And I think Dan Orlovsky did a really good breakdown of this, where he was kind of going through. And there just weren't a lot of guys open for Philadelphia. And that goes back to the question of how creative were you being? How much do you credit Green Bay on this? Or just how much was Philly just saying, hey, we're playing this close to the vest and we're not going to make any mistakes. We got a rusty quarterback and we don't believe that Green Bay can really do anything to us. And it's true. I mean, Jordan Love threw three picks. If you're gonna go 200 yards passing with three picks and no touchdowns, you're not winning any game.
Well, I think too is part of it is that they got up 10-0 pretty fast. I mean, they scored that first touchdown because of the fumble.
Yep.
And then they tacked on a field goal. And at that point, I think Sirianni and whoever, Kellen Moore, I think they're looking at that game going, hey, we don't need to get wild here because our defense is obviously winning. Let's just manage the game.
Yeah, I mean,
it's kind of one of those games.
I mean, think about it, right? So we had the fumble, and then there was it like 3-4 plays, and they had a touchdown, went 20-whatever yards. And then we had punt, 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 field goal, interception, punt, miss field goal, punt, interception, punt, end of half. My God. It's like you said, it was 10-0, and you're just sitting there being like, can someone do something? Punt, field goal, hey, touchdown.
Why didn't the Raiders want Josh Jacobs?
I think it was a matter of they weren't really going anywhere, and you know, they had paid Josh Jacobs on the tag. That was the summer, if I remember, where no one got paid.
Yeah, wasn't he in line? He was supposed to be the highest paid running back in the NFL at that point, and no one wanted to pay whatever that freight was, and so he just bounced, I think.
He just bounced. They had come off of the tag, and no one really had a good year on that tag. Barkley didn't, Jacobs didn't. I think Derrick Henry was in that class, too. And so everyone just kind of moved on, and what's funny about that is, look at it. Jacobs was a beast in Green Bay. He was really their best player, I think, on offense this year. Derrick Henry had a phenomenal year in Baltimore, and Saquon Barkley, minus the quarterback, is the MVP of the league. So all these backs that no one wanted.
The guy in Buffalo.
Yeah, Cook.
So
all these guys that kind of no one wanted.
Bucky Irving.
They turned out, Bucky Irving was just a late pick, and he turned out to be great.
I know. I'm just saying, I think it's interesting to me that, you know, you get into the playoffs, and what is glaring? The good teams run the ball.
Yeah.
It goes back to all this airing it out and all the, you know, the Jaden Daniel, like the quarterback runs and all this stuff. Really, if you look at the elite teams, they all of them run the ball so freaking well.
And this is the weird thing about, like, and I think this is true for all these teams. I think it's true for Tennessee. I think it's true for Baltimore. Anywhere where you had one of these guys that left. So the main three were Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, and
Saquon
Barkley. Like, these guys all had monster resurgent seasons. But can we also, I know we love to kill franchises. But if Saquon Barkley was in New York, Saquon Barkley is not winning MVP. Saquon Barkley is not rushing for 2,000 yards. So when you're a bad team and you don't have a good O-line and you don't have a quarterback and you're running into eight-man boxes every single time, does it behoove you to pay Saquon Barkley a bunch of money? So yes, we can be critical of Tennessee from moving on and for New York from being moving on because look at what they did. But you could make an argument that the best thing that ever happened to those players, and I think it's a very good argument, is that the team moved on from them. If I'm a bad offense, paying a running back does me no good. When it's not going to lead to anything. So yeah, just be careful with the. You know, those teams are morons for letting those players go because none of them would have the season that they were having, nothing close to it if they were on their old team. But it goes to show you if you do have a good team with a good offensive scheme and you do have a good old line and you're balanced, bringing in a back, even an older one, can pay huge dividends for you. And, you know, Green Bay moved on from Aaron Jones and they brought in Josh Jacobs for the same money because he was younger and he was great. And Aaron Jones, by the way, had a nice year in Minnesota. So backs are important, but I also think it's situational and who wants to pay what. Like for San Francisco, paying Christian McCaffrey what he got paid in Carolina was a great investment. But for Carolina, what the hell was it going to do you to pay Christian McCaffrey 17, 18, 20 million bucks a year to play in that crappy offense and be hurt all the time? So two things can be true at the same time, where an elite back is a waste of money and space and talent on a bad team, and he can be an absolute game-changer difference maker on the right team. See Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, 2 years ago, Jacobs was awesome in Vegas.
Yeah.
They were 6-11.
Yeah.
But he was awesome. He had like 1,600 yards.
Yep. And then
he was gone.
Yeah.
Or no, he was there last year. Yeah,
they tagged him and he didn't have a great year.
But they were 8-9. They were better. They had a better record last year than they did 2 years ago when he had a better season.
Yeah. You know, it's just.
And now without him, they went 4-13. So.
Yeah. That's not the. Josh Jacobs in Vegas meant nothing this year.
He didn't mean anything when he was good.
No,
your point is.
Yeah,
I mean, they won six games when he was really good.
Yes.
So they're like, well, why should we pay that? It's more of like a if you've got a championship team like Baltimore, you go get Derrick Henry.
Yes, absolutely.
You're seeing what the dividends that pays.
Yeah.
And then James Cook. I don't know where James Cook was. Where was James Cook?
I thought James Cook was just in Buffalo.
Was he there?
Yeah.
Been there the whole time, huh?
I believe so, but I will take a look-see. But I believe that
maybe that's
Cook
right.
They just made a commitment to run it.
Is just it, yeah.
This year?
Yeah, it's like, hey, he's going to be
second-round draft pick in 2022.
Look at Detroit, what they do. They had two backs over 1,000 yards.
Yep.
Look at Baltimore. Look at Buffalo. You see what Barkley's doing in Philly.
Yeah.
I mean, the only one that doesn't have a just monster run game of the elite teams is Kansas City.
Yeah. Yeah, and
they've got this guy named Patrick.
Yeah, and he's a true difference maker. But yes, especially with a lot of young quarterbacks, we're finding out that running the ball is a quarterback's best friend. Play action is their best friend, and so I do think that we've had a resurgence in run games. Now, does that mean that everyone wants a bell cow? I think I would rather do it more along like what Detroit does, where I got two. You know, it's easier said than done. But yes, running the ball is very, very important in this league because everything is cyclical. And when teams, and you see Buffalo does this as good as anyone, you know, they were showing that they do all these 4x1 sets, right? And what Buffalo can do is, especially with some big receivers, they can give you a pass look and then just ram it down your throat. In fact, San Francisco, the best thing that San Francisco did during their run is that Juszczyk and Kittle. So they can line up in four wide with those guys. And then when a team goes to their nickel or goes to their dime package, we just motion it in and we get Kittle and Juszczyk and now we cram it down their throat. And if you want to go heavy and you want to go with a bear defense, you want to put five down, you want to bring in an extra rugged linebacker, cool, we'll split my guys out and now we're going four wide again and we're slinging it around. So it's become this matchup thing as defenses have gotten smaller and more athletic and more nickel based. Teams that can run the ball, lo and behold, it works. Hey, you want to sit here and play two high safeties on us all day, you know, against like the Chiefs and keep everything in front? Cool, we'll just run you out of the building. See, you know, this is working.
Up next, we have the exclusive, you will hear this nowhere else, We have what A.J. Brown was reading on the sideline.
Somewhere LeBron James is pissed that A.J. Yes. Brown's actually getting credit for reading a book.
Yes. Well, his, I will tell you, his was highlighted.
Yes.
A little more in-depth than LeBron in The Godfather.
And underlined and quite beaten up. And it wasn't like brand new, fresh off the shelf and on page one, you know, like LeBron.
Yeah, LeBron needs to pay someone to weather that book of his.
So we'll get into that. Wrapping up Packers-Eagles next. Here's Buck. All right, wrapping up Packers-Eagles, which wasn't all that thrilling.
No.
Jordan Love, I saw this fun little stat. You know Toyotathon on TV there?
Yes.
Jordan Love during Toyotathon, 28 touchdowns, 2 picks. Jordan Love, non-Toyotathon, 29 touchdowns, 28 picks.
What about Happy Honda Days? How's that work?
And Toyotathon, if you don't know, it ended last week.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he had a little bit of the Justin Herbert thing where, you know, they don't throw picks, and then I think Herbert threw 4. One of them wasn't his fault, went through the guy's hands, and, you know, Love had the horrific one. Although, you know, last year Love had a nice playoff run until that last pass against the Niners. Look, we just saw that Green Bay, one, they're too beat up, and two, like if you're looking at the difference between Philly and you're looking at Green Bay, is for as good as Green Bay is, and remember, I think Green Bay is one of, if not the youngest teams in the league, especially snap-wise, right? Love's a little bit older, but he sat, and he hasn't played that much football. The only thing that I would say about Green Bay is I don't think Green Bay really has stars. I think Green Bay is just a collection of good. I think Buffalo is this way. I think Buffalo is a collection of good. The difference is that Buffalo has Josh Allen. And Josh Allen is that guy that can take a really good roster without a lot of holes on it, but not a lot of elite, and elevate it. And we don't know if Jordan Love's that guy. Right now he's not. Can he become that? And certainly when he's beat up, and this whole year he has been beat up and he's been injured, we know that that's a problem. That's a problem for Green Bay. But looking ahead, I still think the future is very bright for Green Bay. I just think that the big question is, what is Jordan Love? And I think you can say this about Trevor Lawrence. I think you say this right now a little bit about Justin Herbert, although I think you feel better going forward. CJ Stroud took a big step backwards. This was a big step backwards for Jordan Love. And for a guy that hasn't played a lot of football, I think it's a little scary that you paid him a ton of money and this is what you got out of him this year. Still 11-6, but you physically were not anywhere near the Philadelphia Eagles. I think you're a better coach team than Philadelphia, but to a roster, and this is true about a lot of the elite teams, Green Bay just isn't there. They are not an elite team. They're a very good team. And Philly is an elite team. I just think Philly has a wonky head coach.
Is it weird to say that when I watch Philly's defense, just in this game, I haven't seen all their games, but as good as they played and as good as they are, they don't tackle very well.
Yeah, it happens at times.
I don't know. It was weird. Like that's how bad Green Bay was in this game, is that I feel like every time, whether it was Jacobs or somebody else was running with the ball, they would get hit, but not go down because the Eagles don't really wrap up and tackle and get an extra 4 or 5 yards, like every time.
Yeah. And maybe that's something that comes back and bites you in the ass. It didn't really harm you here because Green Bay never really posed
much threat. But I don't know about them, man. They have all the statistics, right? Yep. They're the top defense, they're the number two offense or something.
Yeah.
But their offense doesn't look good. And they just give me no confidence.
It is very weird. And that if I were to build the team out, you'd want to build the Philadelphia Eagles. There isn't weaknesses.
Maybe they need Todd Bowles as their head coach.
It's just, and maybe this is what it boils down to, is much I said about all the quarterback question marks. The biggest question mark is Jalen Hurts. You can say, was this a conservative game plan? Was there rust from the concussion? Jalen Hurts, I feel like the book is out on Jalen Hurts. And teams, when teams force him to go to his secondary pitch, I don't think it's a great secondary pitch. And by the way, I don't think they do a good job of scheming with Jalen Hurts. This offense is not creative enough. For all that they have, I think it's problematic the way they use him at times and the passing offense. And for a team that's 14-3, think about how much drama there's been in the passing attack. Whether you buy into the AJ Brown stuff or not, this is too good a team to have that be the Achilles heel. And this is why, as much as I love Philly's roster, I think it's probably the best in the NFL, top to bottom.
They ain't winning.
I don't think they're winning it.
What do you mean the AJ buy into the AJ Brown
well,
stuff?
Well, it's the whole when AJ Brown was asked, you know, what's wrong with your offense, and he said passing, right?
When was that? Was the earlier this year?
That
right?
was earlier this year. Yeah. And then who was that? Someone came out and said that AJ. I forget who it was. It was Brandon Graham, the defensive end who's hurt for the year, said that there is a AJ Brown and CJ Hurt or Jalen Hurts don't get along, and now we've got AJ Brown reading on the sidelines. He had one catch, and then AJ Brown having to come back and be like, "No, it's not because I'm disinterested. It's because I use it to lock in." And yeah, there's just something is there that passing game.
Yeah, it sucks.
Think about it. You got two legit number one receivers. You've got a legit tight end. You have the best back in the NFL who's great out of the backfield. You have an elite O line, and yet your passing game is just meh. And it doesn't seem
like he sees the field all that well.
I don't think he does. And all the RPOs that they were using to kill people at the beginning, teams have adjusted to that. And he doesn't right now. And the Eagles don't really have a big curveball. And it's strange because we've seen Hurts at times look like Superman. But I think this is another one. You paid him a lot of money. And I don't think he is the quarterback that Lamar Jackson and Burrow and Mahomes. I think he's that second tier, and he falls into that. We paid him a lot of money, and I don't think you get elite quarterback play out of him.
Would you rather have Jalen Hurts or Dak Prescott?
People are going to call me on this team, not starting a team, the Eagles.
Yeah, a really good team.
Dak. Now, if I'm starting a team, I would rather have Jalen Hurts. But yeah. I get this Eagles team with that O-line and that run game and those receivers, I will take Dak Prescott.
Yeah, better thrower.
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell you, coming up next. Now, let's talk about A.J. Brown reading on the sideline.
Yes.
Yes.
Which is I've never seen before, but...
No, when I first saw that, I'm like, oh, my God. Like, this is a problem. You know, I thought it was like I thought it was when he first pulled out a book.
I thought he was sending a message.
Yeah, thought it was pouty.
I'm like, oh my God, here, this guy's a diva. Look at this. This is going to be an issue.
Yeah.
And then a quarter later, they're talking about, oh, he's so inspired by this book and he has it on the sideline every week. And this is such a great story. I'm like, what?
Threw me for a loop, man.
That's not how I viewed it when he first pulled it up, but I guess that's the thing with it.
You know who else read a book on the sideline?
I don't want your life.
Jonathan Moxon.
He did.
But he was trying to get into like Brown or something.
I have the excerpt. So one of the reporters who covers, I think he's Bleacher Report, covers the Eagles. AJ Brown gave him that book, like he's the actual one that he takes to the sideline.
Yep.
And he showed him where he was in the book when he pulled it out on the sideline, and it is highlighted and underlined, and I will read you the passage that he was reading exclusively on the sideline.
That book is now like the number one seller on Amazon.
I know. Because at first they didn't show it. It was like, well, what is that book? And then later they did it's good. Good broadcasting is you got to find out what the book is and zero in on it, you know, zoom in on it. And they zoomed in on it so everybody saw what it was, and now everybody's buying it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's any good. But everyone's buying it.
Motivating.
Well, we'll read you the excerpt that AJ Brown was reading next on The Fan. By the way, the Packers-Eagles game was where I found out. I had no idea. I don't know where I missed this, but Kendrick Lamar halftime show at the Super Bowl?
You are correct, sir.
When did that happen? When did they announce that?
That was a while back.
Yeah, I missed it.
Yeah. I don't remember exactly when, but yeah, that's not, that wasn't new info.
Well, I knew it wasn't new. I just missed it.
Yeah, it happens.
So I found out about it yesterday, and I'm very excited now.
There you go.
Because I love Kendrick Lamar.
Not Drake. They not like us.
Yeah.
They're in a feud.
They fight.
They're in a feud.
Tiff.
I think he got the Super Bowl nod, like, at the tail end of that feud, and everyone was like, well, clearly Lamar wins, or you know, Kendrick wins.
Well, that feud, that's...
He won anyway.
That is a one-sided affair right there. That is Buffalo Bills, Denver Broncos, bitch slap stuff.
So anyway, A.J. Brown reading on the sideline. It's a book called Inner Excellence.
He of one catch. But let me tell you, that one catch was excellent.
Well, it's interesting. Like, I don't know. I've never seen somebody pull out a book on the sideline and it become like this really inspiring thing. But here we are.
I really thought it was an FU to Jalen Hurts in the past. Offense. I just was like,
he's like, well, I'm doing nothing else. Might as well just read.
I 100%, like, if you would have asked me in that moment, I would have laid down $100 that was like, that is an FU. And it may still be.
Someone said it's like the most receiver thing ever to be in a game that 100%. You're winning and only have one catch, so you have to go to your book for help.
100%.
To show everyone in the world that you're not happy with how you're performing.
100%. Like, if you could get stuck in a room with any one position group, wouldn't the worst be a wide receiver?
Them or the DBs?
Nah, I'll take a DB over a wide receiver. I mean, look, it's kind of the same archetype, but I'll at least take the DB. I can't with the receivers. I just can't. God. It's just always.
They're like NBA players.
Yes, it's always. And AJ Brown, by the way, is an amazing receiver. It's just, they're a lot. And it feels like the better they are, the more this happens.
Would you like the excerpt?
Yeah, please.
This is what he was reading. Okay, this is from the book that he was, like, the actual book that he
had. And it's highlighted. And
it's highlighted. And it's underlined and highlighted, which I don't know why you need both, but he did.
Well, look, I'll give him credit. At least he didn't pull LeBron and be on page one of The Godfather.
He said, this is from Inner Excellence, we're so hard on ourselves, amplifying all our failures and regrets, that we neglect to see what's still possible. A life of freedom, filled with deep contentment, joy, and confidence. Independent of circumstance. We're all human, with the same deep desires and concerns, Jason. Look at that, it addresses you right in the book.
Clearly.
In the pursuit of extraordinary performance, it's easy to succumb to anxiety and pressure because so much is out of your control. When you learn to live a life that is fully engaged, however, then you can perform your best and love the challenge. Every performance, presentation, or problem you face is an opportunity to learn and grow and vividly experience each moment.
There you go. I feel inspired right now.
And that's it.
I feel my inner excellence coming
from
out.
Inner excellence. So, by the way, who's the guy? What's the author's name? Johnson or something?
He's a former minor league baseball player. I was reading about him today, and he said it took him 5 years to write this book, and no one read it until A.J. Brown read it. And it was like 257,000 down on the Amazon order list, and now it's number one.
That's crazy.
Yeah, all because A.J. Brown was reading it. His name is Murphy. Jim Murphy. The other thing that I would like to point out is so A.J. Brown says this is not an FU, right? I'm not being a diva. One catch, 10 yards. And I don't even know if he had a catch at the time that this all went down, or if he had no catches. I don't know. But he says he reads all the time. If he was reading on the sidelines, someone would have seen it. Like, he's claiming, oh, you caught me. It's the NFL. You're telling me
we're in the 19th week of the season and he's been doing this all along and no one's ever caught wind of it?
And Jalen Hurts did say after the game, he said, quote, I've never seen him read, but I have seen that book in his hands. He didn't clarify whether that book was on the sidelines or in the locker room. I need to see evidence that he has read on the sidelines.
Now, is that a subtle shot back? Maybe. I've never seen him read. Is he just stoking the flames here? The little rivalry between them grows.
I have never in my life at any level seen someone outside of Varsity Blues and old Johnny Mox. I've never seen someone read on the sidelines, and I've seen a lot of things on sidelines.
Vaughn Taylor, 3-time PGA Tour winner, said inner excellence will change your life.
Well, there you go.
Stuart Sink, British Open champion, said it is his number one tip for success, read Inner Excellence by Jim Murphy.
Well, there you go.
Where you will learn to develop self-mastery, overcome anxiety, remove mental blocks, and train your subconscious mind.
Well, there you go.
You said that 3 times in a row. There you go.
I don't know what.
You don't know what to say.
I don't know what to say.
You're stunned.
Well, AJ Brown said the game is 90% mental and 10% physical. That's easy to say when you're AJ Brown and you're built like a effing truck.
Well, I got to give him credit for at least thinking about these types of things.
Yeah.
you know, and working on those types of things.
Yes.
Because I would imagine being a high-level athlete.
Probably very stressful.
No matter how diva-ish you are, it's not easy.
Of all the guys in this round of playoffs that could have one catch and pull out a book, the most problematic one is probably A.J. Brown with all they've been through, and yet he's now somehow turned it into a positive and now selling a bunch of books for this guy. And by the way, if you have a struggling like mental health book, just get an NFL player to read that son of a gun on the sidelines.
I'm going through a list of, or I'm just trying to think of another receiver who could have, who was in the playoffs.
Yeah, this round that could have read, could have read a book that you would have been more inclined to be like, dude, that is an F you to his quarterback. Because I can't think of one.
That's probably
I got one. Oh, wait.
I've got one, and he's going to show up in Stockwatch.
And okay, I think I know where you're going.
George Pickens.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Because he's the other guy that just doesn't give two Fs. He is the epitome of every physical tool in the world and like has a two-set head.
I thought Brady, once again, I am not a Brady hater. I don't think he's bad. I thought he was pretty good on the broadcast. And he said something during the broadcast. This was the Eagles game. He said that I thought was good. He said, you know, there's a difference between stars and champions.
Mm-hmm.
He said the NFL is littered with stars, but there are very few champions. And he said the difference is you've and this is me extrapolating from what he said. But he's talking about these receivers.
Sure.
They're stars. Yeah. They're really good at what they do.
Yeah.
But they're not champions. He said the difference is champions will do anything it takes to win.
Yeah.
And I mean anything. This is what Tom Brady said. And I thought, wow, that's pretty cool insight from a guy who's like top of the heap champion. Yeah. And, you know, he knows the difference between being a really good football player and being a champion. And I thought it was interesting how he put that. And that's guys like George Pickens.
Yeah. And and Brady, by the way, never played with the exception of that one or maybe it was 2 years with Randy Moss. He never played with an elite wide receiver. And yet they won a S ton of games and Super Bowls.
But, you know, he was talking like when it's interesting, like that's kind of why he's in the booth. Maybe he's not the most polished. Obviously, he's not the most polished.
Yeah.
But when he's watching a game, he gives you unique insight. Like, for example, he could not stop polishing Jacobs and Reed.
Yeah.
But from his eye, those are the two guys. Like, he won 7 rings. He knows what it takes. And he was identifying the players that he wants to ride with.
Sure.
He's like, I can tell you right now in this that's a guy I want who has brought it today. Josh Jacobs, and I think Jalen Reed was the other one. I can't remember. There was another guy that he was hot on about how hard they were playing.
Yeah, and Jacobs was. He single-handedly was trying to keep Green Bay in that game.
And Brady kept pointing that out, and I just thought, you know, I mean, that's why you have Tom Brady in the booth, is like he can recognize those things when everybody else is like, oh, A.J. Brown's so amazing. Well, is he?
And by the way, he may not be back. There's a lot of scuttlebutt that the NFL is going to chop him at the knees and not let him broadcast.
That's what I heard. I thought it was Fox that was
going to. Yeah, just in general.
Pick a lane. Be an owner or be a broadcaster.
The NFL is already saying there's a bunch of stuff that he can't do and that Fox was trying to get them to ease up on some of those. And the NFL is going to say no and that Fox and the NFL are going to get together and be like, because supposedly he is the guy now going to be in charge. Like they're saying he has a massive influence in what the Raiders are doing. And you can't do that. You can't be drafting players. You can't be picking coaches and doing all this and then going into production meetings and going around. That's a conflict of interest. So
not many people can just give up a $350 million job.
And yet it kind of feels like that's what he's about to go do.
Yeah. Well, what percentage of the Raiders does he own?
It's not a big one.
But just because of who he is,
yes,
Mark Davis has given him...
Sounds like they are letting him kind of be a very large voice in that room.
Yeah, well, I would too.
I mean...
they certainly don't know what they're doing. Might as well get somebody who does.
Well, we'll see what happens, right? Because, you know, for every John Lynch that's out there, there's a Matt Millen. So we'll see where Brady's at.
All right. That puts to bed Eagles Packers. Next is Justin Herbert overrated, and then Stockwatch on the Fan.